What we know is supposed to drive how we act. That is part of being rational creatures, as the Lord God has made us. But it is even more true since the Holy Spirit has enlightened us and has informed us about our existence that is both physical and spiritual, both temporal and eternal. That enlightenment happened when we were made sons of light, when we were made members of the kingdom of God by receiving Christ's gospel. But is that knowledge motivating us to act accordingly? Even more so, is our understanding of the Lord's will moving us to act? Or are we showing ourselves to be unwise? Such questions are raised as we hear the scripture readings for this ninth Sunday after Trinity. Because in today's gospel reading, we are presented with one of the more perplexing parables that Jesus tells. We have this parable of the unrighteous manager or unrighteous steward. And in Jesus' story about this manager of a wholesale business who was about to be fired for cause. Remember, he's being fired for wasting his master's possessions. Jesus describes, though, how that man figured out a way not to be left on the streets with no hope of survival. The man thinks about his imminent plight. He says, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. So what shall I do?" And then Jesus tells us this man devised a solution to secure his future. "I've decided what to do," he says, "so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." But in Jesus' story, the man's solution involves even more unjust or unrighteous actions. Remember, the unrighteous manager is being fired for wasting his master's possessions. But how does he secure a future for himself? By doing more of the same. Summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he told him 100 measures of oil. And then the steward says to him, "Well, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. And then he said to another, "Well, how much do you owe?" And he says, "Well, I owe 100 measures of wheat." And so he tells him, "Well, then take your bill and write 80. And by doing this, he is undercutting his master even more on his way out the door. And he is turning the master's debtors into his own creditors, since they should repay the great favor that he was doing for them. Now, what often shocks people when they hear this from Luke's gospel is how Jesus describes the master's reaction to his former employee's actions. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." There is a shrewdness in what this dishonest and unrighteous man had done. He used his knowledge of his situation, that which he was enlightened about, he uses that knowledge to ensure his future. Now, it is absolutely clear this man did not meet the Lord's standards of ethics and morality in any way. But he did exploit the tenets of this generation. As we might say, although getting a little dated now, hate the game, not the player. And Jesus' parable is actually urging his disciples to act according to the reality that exists for them. They are sons of light. They are sons of light who currently live in this age, but also belong to an eternal generation. This is a reality that Jesus discloses in his teaching. It's not a new revelation that this exists. It's not a new revelation about reality. No. Even Moses and the prophets, they also declared such truth. It's a truth that the Lord's word makes known. Whether that is the Lord's word in what we now call the Old Testament, the Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, in the Lord's word that Jesus reveals, and then even in the Lord's word that the apostles proclaim that we read in the epistles. The sons of light are meant to have that knowledge. And when they do, that understanding which has been given to them is supposed to drive their actions. And so Jesus teaches his disciples, he teaches the sons of light, how they are to act now to secure their places in the eternal generation. And this includes the understanding that the Lord has put his creation under their management. That all possessions and all wealth truly belong to God, who holds ownership over all things. But that possession, that wealth, has been entrusted to individuals. He has entrusted them so that we can say we are all managers of the master's things. A master with a capital M. Master. So how is our management going? Do we waste the master's possessions? Do we live as if those possessions fully belong to us instead of belonging to God? Have we become enslaved to the wealth and property instead of seeing them as tools and instruments that God actually gave us to manipulate, not to be manipulated by? Has mammon become our master instead of God? Well, those questions are prompted by Jesus' parable and his subsequent statements about it. Recall what he commands after talking about the sons of this world being shrewder than the sons of light. What does he then say? I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Then he couples that statement with all sorts of declarations about management integrity. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you haven't been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you haven't been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is their own? Your own. And then he puts on the capper about lordship and service. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, he says. And in those statements, Jesus is revealing truths about discipleship. Truths that indicate that what his followers do here and now have ramifications for the age to come. Truths that his disciples are to live in the understanding that they do indeed belong to an eternal generation, which means that everything belonging to this age will pass away. Truths that the possessions and wealth of this world are not good masters, and we should not be enslaved or servile to them. All of these statements of Jesus are revealing a reality that we should grasp. And they should motivate how we think and how we speak and how we act. There is a way for us to be shrewd and prudent and wise with how we live now, which will be beneficial to us and even to others in the world to come. You see, Jesus is teaching us how we can secure the future. That security does not come from being dishonest or wasteful. It does require receiving the benefits that Jesus' works of salvation accomplish. It is actually through his works that our debts with God are completely erased. We do not work to earn our salvation. Rather, we are freely given the benefits of Christ's atonement that he offered through his sacrificial death. This is how we have been made right with God. But even more than that, we have also been designated to inherit the outcome achieved by his resurrection, being part of that eternal generation. This is all part of being made sons of light. Not a status that we achieve for ourselves, but a status granted to us. But there is another aspect to discipleship beyond everything that awaits in the future eternity. Our status that we have been granted as sons of light, as belonging to that eternal generation, that status should also be reflected in what we do in this age that is not eternal. Such behavior should be pleasing to the Lord, who makes us managers of his creation and what exists within it. And the scriptures reveal what he delights in. They also speak of how he evaluates people and how he interacts with them. We can think on those statements of David that we heard in today's Old Testament reading, where David says about the Lord, "With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down." So David speaks about the Lord dealing mercifully and blamelessly and purely with people. But what type of people? With merciful people, blameless people, purified people. But what about the dishonest and the wicked? How does the Lord act towards them? David says, he's torturous to them. He pulls them down, brings them down. So do these statements indicate how the Lord may interact with us? Well, indeed, they do. We are directed by Jesus towards ways, meaning ways of thinking and speaking and acting, that are merciful and blameless and purified. And that even includes how we use the things of this world, the things that will pass away. Remember his directive to his disciples, including us. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Remember also the warning that Jesus gives about idolatry and lordship when it comes to earthly things. No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. These are revelations of wisdom that Jesus gives. And they are meant to steer how we think and speak and act in this age. And how we do so will have effects in the world to come. We are the sons of light who belong to an eternal generation. And it would be shrewd and prudent and wise for us to act accordingly. We should be better at the way of discipleship, our discipleship, our following Christ, than the sons of this world are in dealing with their own generation. And if we listen to Jesus' teaching and we heed his instructions, then that is the outcome we should anticipate. But if we don't, then we actually show ourselves to be foolish. And such folly will not only be detrimental in the present day, it will be eternally harmful. For we will have to give an account of our lives at the end. And having the master assess us that we are wasteful of his possessions and then dismissing us from his employ, that's an outcome we want to avoid both this time, but especially at the end of all things. Instead, we should have the desire to be faithful in the unrighteous wealth so that the master will entrust to us the true riches. That's going to be the outcome if we hear and heed the wisdom that Jesus reveals to us, both about the eternal generation that we belong to, but also about how we should use the property and riches of this age. So what is that wisdom? Well, briefly, we can say it like this. Be recipients of the salvation that he freely bestows. Number one, receive the salvation he freely bestows by the work that he has done for you. Always, number one. But then, there is this. Recognize that you have been made managers of what actually belongs to the Lord and not to you. At least not fully to you. And make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. And that includes using the possessions of the current age to support activities that convey Christ's gospel to others in the present day so that they can also freely receive it, freely getting what we've already gotten. Then show yourselves to be devoted and righteous, even in small matters. Remember how Jesus said, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much." And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. That's a key teaching there, isn't it? God's giving us experiments with the little things and giving us an opportunity to demonstrate our faithfulness in the little things before he gives us the bigger things that are eternal. And then know the truth about lordship and service. Jesus is correct when he says you cannot serve God and money. They have competing interests. They don't fully align. They are two different masters. So do not become enslaved to what competes against God, but will only last until God brings this world to a close. And besides which, when your earthly life ends, you don't get to control the money either. Jesus provides this wisdom to us. And he wants us to act accordingly until our time of management comes to an end. If that wisdom he gives directs our lives, then we will not be dismissed as managers because we've been wasteful and dishonest. Instead, we will be welcomed into God's eternal house when our time in this age comes to a close. For by acting wisely, which means heeding the wisdom that Jesus reveals, we will show ourselves to be the sons of light, that status that Christ has given to us, who belong to an eternal generation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.